Our scripture reading for today is from James. I will be reading from chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of God for the people of God. And now may our hearts be prepared to receive the message today by Don Thalman. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. And I appreciate the very kind words from Pastor Pamela. But we are a church body, and we all have a specific role to play here in order to make this the great church that we all know it can and will be. So thank you. I'm going to start out the message today by talking about our youth group, and the fact that they spent the first week of the month of July at Warren Willis Church Camp. So while I'm talking, if the youth would like to start making their way up here. First of all, if I'm up here and it's getting, you know, late summer, early fall, those have been around for a while, know I've got to plug the pumpkin patch, right? But just to put in perspective, for each child or each youth that goes to camp, it's $420 per person to attend camp. And we sent 11 youth this year. Now, what that means is that's over $4,600 is the cost to have our youth go to camp for the week. Now, because of the pumpkin patch, not only were we able to fund a year of activities for the youth group, but between patch credits, where the youth are out in the patch working and earning credits towards camp, but also the scholarships that every youth gets from the pumpkin funds at the end of the season, we were able to cover over $2,400 from the pumpkin fund. So, amen. And so when you start hearing, hey, we need a little bit of help on the pumpkin patch or this or that, this is big for the church. It's huge for our youth. And in a moment, you're going to hear a little bit of testimony from them about what camp means to them. How it impacts them, and you'll see, of course, the youth is the future of not just this church, but all churches, and so it does play a vital role in our long-term program here. So now I'd like to bring out the youth. They can come out in any order they'd like. They're going to talk for just a minute about Warren Willis Camp.
Thank you, Rusty, for turning on the mic. So at camp, my favorite part at camp is chapel. Now, I wasn't able to talk about this last summer, not the one where I just went to one before because I got sick. But last summer at chapel was the first time I felt the presence of God on that Friday night when we were singing. Chapel is normally arranged where we sing four or five songs, we have a quick, you know, 20, 30-minute message, and we go, and then we go to get ready for bed. It's at the very end of the day for when you're in the high school camp. And it's always my favorite because the songs are so powerful. And they're not powerful just because they're good songs. They're powerful because you have 100-plus people in there all singing at once, all singing together, all praising God. And that's when I knew that I felt the presence of God there, because there's nothing more powerful than people singing together. And that's what camp does for me. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to stand on my tippy toes because I'm short. But so camp is just such a beautiful place. It is so peaceful and secluded, and there's just so much time spent when you are surrounded by people who are going through the same thing as you and who have the same faith as you. And there's just so much opportunity there, like Brody mentioned, chapel, but there's also praise time, morning devos, nighttime devos, tag time, which is time alone with God time. And so it's just such a great place to reconnect with God, and it's so beautiful, and there's so many activities that you can do that it's just so, it's like spiritually renewing, which is what the message is about today. Just it's really amazing experience to go there and to reconnect with God and to just realize like why you are here and to be with other people in faith.
Hey, I like camp. Well, I shouldn't say I like it. I don't like it. I love it. camp's a great place, and I'm not just because of one specific thing. It's a break from the rest of the year. It's a time to focus on God and, like Isabel said, renew yourself. The first thing you do when you wake up, you don't even get breakfast yet. You go and have a devo. I think that's incredible, the devotion to God everyone has, the commitment. People, I mean, it's a different world in camp. It's just so great, and I love it because the people there make it great, and God's there with you, and you can feel it, like Brody said. Thank you.
Awesome. Stay up here. All right, thanks. So we just wanted to give you a little snapshot of how the youth feel about camp. And now I'm going to use these three, if you want to come on over here in the middle of stage. I want to take a minute to show you something that we're going to be talking about a little bit here throughout this message. So he'll like this. JR represents God. Isabel represents us. And I almost called them big guns. That's what we call them at youth. Lonzo represents the world. All right. In the beginning, we were one with God and one with God's creation. Right? So get closer together. Squish, squish, squish. That's how we were. That's how it was supposed to be. But then sin entered the world. And through that entered man. And then we were separated, right? Separated from God. Now, a question for y'all. Would you say today is the world closer to God or further away from God than it was the second day of sin? That's kind of rhetorical. It's further away. So, world, come on over here for me. Right about here. All right. Now, for me, and I'm going to have him stand here and indulge me for just a couple minutes while I do this. You know, life is busy. Is anybody just bored with life? Nothing to do ever? You know? Life is busy. For me, you know, we've got this. We've got, you know, choir. We're trying to get youth going. Pumpkins are going to be coming up. We got to mow the patch out there. All these things going on. In addition to that, we've got Brody's football starting soon. Bell's going to then be into basketball. I've got all the stuff at the house we're working on, trying to remodel a bathroom. That's not even started yet. And to top it all off, I'm supposed to be rehabbing my knee, which I haven't been doing great at. And in January, our entire family's going to run the Disney Half Marathon. So maybe I should work out for that. I don't know. What do you think? It's only 13 miles, right? There's a lot going on. What's supposed to be my priority? God, right? So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I only have so much time in a day. Here's what I can do. I want to be in a good place with God, right? Everybody wants to be in a good place with God. If you love God, you want to be in a good place with God. So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here, okay. I can't be closer to the world than I am to God. That's bad. We can figure that part out, right? So I want to be closer to God than I am with the world. So if this is the midpoint right here, if we could measure the distance between God and the world, God never moves, the world is all over the place. We can measure the distance. If this is the halfway point, I'm going to be right here. I got time to be here. I'll make time to be here. I should be working this way, but I'm making time to be right here, right? And I'm like, my goal is to stay to the God side of center on this continuum. Does that make sense? I want to stay on the God side so I'm always closer to God than I am to the world. All right? Well, here's the problem. Is the world getting closer to God or further away? Does anybody feel it almost daily that the world's getting further away from God? Right? So here's the problem. So if the world is getting further away from God, my goal is to stay on the God side of center, so I'm like this, okay, right about here's where I'm going to be. And then the next day, the world's further over, and so I'm like, okay. And the next day, and so, okay. So I'm still where I was, right? I'm still at 51%. I'm on the God side of center. But what's going on here? I'm getting further away from God. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm not noticing it because I've got my eye here and here because I'm trying to stay somewhere in the middle where I can balance my worldly life with my life with God. Okay? Is that what happens to us? Does anybody else feel that besides me? All right. Thank you all. Let's give a hand to our youth volunteers. They weren't really volunteers. I got them up here. Thank you. The word sanctification is basically the process of moving forward towards living a more Christ-like life. It's the process of not just trying to stay at the 51st percentile. It's the process of walking this way and getting closer to God. Regardless of what the world is doing, you're getting closer to God. That's sanctification. The problem is the world knows that if it can keep you distracted, you may not be moving forward. You might not be intentionally taking steps towards God. You might be distracted enough where you're just trying to keep your space in line. It knows it's pulling you away from God. You don't feel it because you're still in the same spot, the distance between them. The world knows that if you're not moving towards God, you're moving away from God. There's no standing still. In the morning, we all have some kind of agenda. Maybe you get up, have some quiet time, some prayer time, maybe a devotional, maybe breakfast, maybe a shower, head off to work, school, whatever it is you got going on for the day, and you're thinking it's going to be a great day, it's going to be a blessed day, I'm going to make sure of it, right? Well, the world has a different agenda for you. It intends to steal your joy. It intends to remind you of your shortcomings, to tell you you're not good enough. You need to do something and buy something and be something of the world in order to be better and be who you were supposed to be, and it works to break you down. In today's scripture from James, he states, and this is coming from James 3:11 and 12, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear an olive or a grapevine bear a fig? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." You can't have focus on the world and be moving towards sanctification. You can't be doing this and making it happen. You got to be doing this in order to make it happen. So where does this leave us? Well, as usual, answers are right here. A few weeks ago, Brody gave a great message on the heart of the church. So let's look at one of the foundational scriptures he used, Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it." So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God changes your heart. Ezekiel 36:26 and 27 says this, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit into you." So, putting those two scriptures together, you need to guard this heart. It's no longer a heart of stone that you had when you were of the world, and your job is to keep it that way. Keep the world out to keep your heart of flesh instead of turning it back into a heart of stone. So how do we do this? Again, going to the scriptures, Jesus in Matthew 22:37 says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul and all your mind." So if we peel back that back a little bit, the heart and soul are what we're talking about protecting. So let's look at the mind part. He said, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." I think there's an answer there. If we go back to the scripture I read just prior to Ezekiel, the one that Brody had read, 4:23, which is Proverbs 4:23, except this time I'm not going to stop when I'm done reading 4:23. I'm going to read it all the way through 4:27. All right? This is the one we talked about. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, so we're talking about guarding your heart. Now he goes on to say in 24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to your paths of your feet. Be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So it says, guard your heart, and here's how. Be mindful of what you choose. Be mindful of what you do. Be mindful of what you say. One way we can guard our hearts is to love God with our whole mind, as we've said. Now, there's this joke that's been told, and unfortunately it tends to be all too true for many of us. And you might have heard this before. There's this driver driving right down Clark. And has anybody driven north on Clark, between 5:30 and 6 o'clock lately? I don't know what in the world happened, but oh my goodness, the traffic is awful now. And so there's this driver, he's driving north, and he's in the traffic, and he's just being obnoxious. He's honking his horn, he's yelling at drivers. He's, throwing some obscene hand gestures out the window. Just being awful. He looks in the rearview mirror and sees a police officer. Police officer pulls him over. And walks up to the window, says, I need to see your driver's license and registration. Police officer gets him, he's looking. Hands it back to the guy, gets ready to leave. And the driver says, what'd you pull me over for? And the police officer said, well, I thought the car might be stolen. The driver says, why? He said, well, I saw what you were doing, and I saw the bumper sticker on your back of your car says, follow me to church. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. What you choose to say, how you choose to act, what you choose to watch, how you choose to treat people, this all impacts your heart. And whether or not you're guarding your heart from it starting to turn back to stone. Well, thank God for grace and forgiveness, because I know we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I make these mistakes. And the world is constantly trying to pull us harder and harder away from God. And they're getting better and more sophisticated. Every single day, our minds are influenced by social media ads, billboards, music, television, modern culture, coworkers, classmates, you name it, it's out there. And it's typically not helping you improve your relationship with God. Have you ever wanted just to hit the factory reset button and get back to the basics of being able to focus on God? That's what renewal is. And don't think for a minute that this is a new issue that we face because of Facebook or Twitter or, 24-hour-a-day news stations or whatever. This has been going on for thousands of years. If you look in the writings of Paul, Paul wrote a letter in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Doesn't that sound like what we're talking about today? And keep in mind, he didn't write this to a group of people that gathered out to hear this guy say something. He wrote this to a church, already accepted Jesus Christ, was doing pretty well. And yet, what did he say? He tells them, renew your mind. Get your thoughts and actions back on track, or the heart will turn. Hit that reset button. So what can we do to hit that reset button? What can we do to experience a renewal? Well, the kids up here kind of touched on it quite a bit, right? Camp helps them feel a sense of renewal. One thing that is great about camp this first year and four that I wasn't able to go as an adult volunteer, and I felt it every year I've gone, but granted, adult volunteers do use their phones. But I do my best to keep away from it. But the kids have to put their phones away. You imagine going a week without, you know, Facebook? I know Frank can. But can you go a week without Facebook, without 24-hour news, without television, without all of these negative images coming your way? Instead, you focus on fellowship with other Christians. You're focusing on God. You're focusing on devotions. It's peaceful. How can we create that in our world without taking a week off in some distant camp? Well, one is, and Paul talked about this last week, read your Bibles. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Join the prayer team here. Pray individually. Pray as a group. But pray. Get involved in daily devotions. One of our big challenges, and let's all be honest, if we're running late for work and we're supposed to be doing this morning devotion, and we've got time to either do our devotion or catch up Facebook, which do we choose? Right? Hopefully devotion. It's easier to choose Facebook. To be in fellowship with other believers, just like you are now. Except find additional opportunities to do that. Once a week is great. Twice a week is better. Right? Find ways to be in fellowship with other Christians. Worship. Sing. Even if you can't carry a tune, God doesn't care. He wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear you praise Him. Even if you can't sing. Doesn't matter to Him. He wants you to praise Him with your whole being. Just a second, I got a cough. So just sing, just let it out, and just apologize to the person in front of you afterwards. Use the gifts that God gave you, whether it's helping out your neighbor, helping out Ocoee Oaks to make an impact here in the Ocoee area for the kingdom. Whatever it is, use the gifts that God gave you. Keep focused on those type of things. Can help keep your mind more squarely pointed at God instead of all the distractions of the world. And we're bringing out again today, back by popular demand, I'm wearing my What Would Jesus Do bracelet again. Those that have been around for a while know that a couple times the youth have had them in the back for people just to grab on their way out. You know, since we started this about 2 years ago, the youth have given out over 500 What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Over 500 of them. Some to the congregation here. They've taken them to schools and handed them out. They've taken them to camp. They're out passing them out. What a wonderful way to remember. And just that quick little reminder, that visual aid to choose what Jesus would do. To choose to treat someone how Jesus would treat them. To choose things that would honor God. Just a visual reminder, just to help us through this, because there's so many messages saying, look this way, look this way, look this way. God doesn't usually come smack us in the face, say, look my way. Sometimes He does, but it's not very often. It takes our effort and our focus to look this way. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So in other words, get your mind right with God, and you'll better be able to hear the advice and counsel of the Holy Spirit that's living in your heart of flesh.